for the blood supply, we obviously do a lot of testing to try to keep it as safe as we can for the recipients. And we will oftentimes see the first case of something, whatever that something is, whether it's a virus or what have you, that is emerging in the area.
With respect to Zika then, how will that happen? How would that work?
So we are currently testing. We started on July 5th. For testing of our blood supply. It involves a consent for all of our donors. So when they come in to donate, we ask them for permission to test for the Zika virus. And when we test it, the Qualtex Laboratories does the testing, and we will be notified within a day or two that we have a positive. So that's as fast as any other possible test can be. And so we'll know really quickly that we have something.
And if someone were to test positive, then they would get a letter in the mail?
Yeah. So there's actually a protocol that we are under for this particular test. And so when a person comes up with a positive test, we will notify them that they had that initial positive, and then we will ask them to come in for some additional testing. And that additional testing will be at different timelines. So we'll do a call back at about 2 weeks after the initial donation, and then another one at about 8 weeks, so that we can see how the progression of that virus is within their body.
The initial contact, though, is that a letter in the mail or a phone call?
We will do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you had any positive Zika tests yet?
We haven't. We haven't had any positives within our area. We do expect that it's very possible, because we're an area that has the right mosquitoes, and we're a fairly wet area. So within the United States, the areas that we're expecting to come up positive for Zika would be Texas, California, and Florida. And Florida has already come up positive. So we are expecting that this will happen within our area. It's just a matter of time. And we're doing everything that we can to prepare for that eventuality.
And so this additional testing, would this be to the cost of the donor? Is this to the cost of BioBridge Global? How does that work?
So it's a recovery of cost. So whenever this sort of test is implemented, it's under what's called an IND. It's a kind of the last step for when the FDA approves a test. So there's been a lot of testing done on this test, but this is the last set of testing that is done on this test. And it's the cost is passed on to the hospitals, but it is passed on only as on a cost basis. So there is no profit that is put into it. There's nothing that's recovered additional than just the cost of the test.
And so the person wouldn't be out any money.
Right. The donor is not out any money. They basically just give us permission to test for the virus, which we're hoping that they carefully consider and allow us to do that. But there is no cost.
20% of people are declining. Do people say why?
I think it's a variety of reasons. I think that when people come up against something that they're unfamiliar with, they're a bit hesitant. So I would say that it's just a new scenario for our donors, and they have to really get used to this idea. I would encourage them to really consider doing this, however, because it does protect our blood supply. And one of the key items that I want to make sure that everybody knows is that 80% of people that have it don't have any symptoms. So people who come in to donate are feeling great, and that could be the person that comes in that has the virus that still feels great. And we need to be able to test it to be able to pick it up.
And even if you don't think that you need to be protected, certainly pregnant women in our community need to be protected.
Absolutely. And we know it's linked to microcephaly and other neurologic issues. And so it's extremely important for us, in our view, to protect our blood supply and provide the safest blood. And so the most at risk are pregnant females. And so we are encouraging our donors to carefully consider allowing us to do that test on them.
At what point does it just become mandatory?
Whenever the test is approved by the FDA as a donor screening test. So this is the last step. This IND is the last step to become an FDA-approved test for donor screening. And once it is deemed approved and required by the FDA, then it's just required of all donations.
And what kind of time period are we looking at? Because you would almost think that that would be now.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and the FDA has these particular rules that you have to go through. But it's about a year or two that we're looking at before it's going to be a required test.
What about if Zika shows up locally, like it has in Miami, would it be across the board then?
I would actually change the algorithm of what we accept. So currently we're not an active area of transmission. So the answer to that is we would take donations until we become an active area. If we become an active area, we would not take donations that they're not consenting to the Zika test. And that's because we have to protect the blood supply.
So right now you have a Zika-tested supply and a non-Zika-tested supply. How does that work?
It's actually a process where you label the blood. Each of the units is labeled carefully with various things like ABO, RH, things like that. Same thing for Zika. So if it's tested for Zika, it's labeled as having been tested and found negative for Zika, and the inventory is managed that way.
So do hospitals sometimes order Zika-tested blood?
They do.
And what do they order that for?
Well, it's for the high risk. So for pregnant females or for women of childbearing age that are, saying that they're in the process of trying to become pregnant.
How do you think it's working so far? I mean, it's only been a month, but did you all expect a higher level of people saying, yeah, I want to be tested?
I actually expected a little bit lower number of consent refusals. So I'm hoping that the education that we're putting out to all of our donors helps to get them to really carefully consider this. But of course, you always expect some refusals. There's always some people that just are not willing to do anything that's different. But I really want people to carefully consider it.
Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing else you do as a donor, right? They just take one little extra vial of blood, no extra stick. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the blood is tested at Qualtex Laboratories, and it's tested in the same way for Zika as for a lot of the other infectious diseases. And it uses basically the same samples that we collect for the blood donor on our normal donations. So it's really not an extra thing that the donor needs to do or anything different that they experience during the donation process. It's just that they need to give us that permission.
And so it's sent off to Atlanta, is that correct?
That is correct. Our subsidiary, Qualtex, has a laboratory in Atlanta, and the machinery that is required to do this Zika testing is very large, and we needed the footprint to be able to implement these instruments, and we had that in Atlanta, thankfully.
But if you end up having to do it here, you'll have to find space, or?
We are going to have to find space, and we're already trying to figure that out, because we know on the horizon within 1 to 2 years that we're looking at this.
Mm-hmm. How many diseases do you test for now, and what kinds of things do you test for?
We test for a lot. So we test for, the list starts with syphilis. We do that in a serologic way, which means we look for antibodies to syphilis. We also test for HIV. Hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HTLV, which is human T-cell lymphotrophic virus, which is something that is not very common in the U.S., but we do still test for it here. We test for West Nile virus. We test for Chagas, which is a parasite. So it's a large variety of infectious diseases that we test for. And there's always emerging ones as well. So we're always on the lookout for what else is coming down and maybe showing up in our area.
Mm-hmm. So people can feel very protected then.
Yes, but blood is as safe as it's ever been. We have developed tests that are extremely sensitive in the blood industry so that we pick them up very, very early, and the tests are very reliable as well. Mm-hmm. So not only sensitive, but very reliable. And so the blood supply is as safe as it's ever been. It's never zero risk. Obviously, we never say that anything is a zero-risk endeavor, but it is extremely safe.
Are people contacted if they're positive for other infectious diseases?
Yes, they are. They're told anytime that they have a positive test result, we connect with them and let them know. And we also give them some confirmatory tests so that they can bring that information to their physicians and have as much information as possible for their physician to then further follow up with them.
Then this is really no different. This is dovetailing into what you already do.
That's exactly right. And it's exactly the same process. We don't do anything different. It's just because it is not an FDA-required test yet, it's not approved and required, we have to get that permission.